Elders on Thrones. Elders on Thrones. Old guys. You picture these guys with big beards, but no, they're just experienced, ancient ones. And we're going to read the first appearance of them in Revelation 4:4. And the first appearance of anything in the scripture is significant. And we're going to find out something about them that, to me, again, sends a chill down my spine. Revelation 4 and verse 4. And around the throne I perceive 24 elders. And there are 24 of them, by the way. And on the 24 thrones, elders sitting clothed in white garments, and on their heads golden wreaths. They're clothed in white garments, these elders, and on their heads are golden wreaths. In the scripture, white garments are given as an award of merit. And wreaths are for those who have come off victorious in some kind of trial or contest. Ooh, now we're getting into the stuff of Greek mythology, but this is real. These elders, these rulers, these sovereignties on thrones. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this. There are 12 instances where these elders are mentioned. Do you not think numbers mean something in the Word of God? 12 mentions of 24 elders. 12 is a number of rulership on earth because we have the 12 tribes of Israel, we have the 12 apostles, we have the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. So 12 speaks of earthly administration. 24, apparently, 2 times 12, speaks of celestial administration of government. I believe that as Israel was divided into 12 different allotments of land, that during the millennium, the earth will be segregated, divided, apportioned, if you will, into 12 sectors that will be ruled by the 144,000 as delegated authority, but ultimately by the 12 apostles, which in fact is also delegated authority because they get their authority from David, who is also delegated authority, gets his authority from Christ, who is the chief priest in that kingdom along the order of Melchizedek. We talked about that in the Hebrews series. So I was telling you yesterday of this reflection on earth of things that are in heaven. And in heaven, we have 24 sectors of the universe run by 24 elders, ancient ones, aldermen of the heavenly spheres, and they're on thrones, and they're wearing white, which speaks of an award of merit, and they're wearing wreaths, which speaks of victory in some trial or contest. In the past, in the heavens, in the celestials, there have been epic contests, epic battles. We know that the earth was disrupted, Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim, or the heavens and earth, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. I told you that if something happens on the earth, it's a reflection of rebellion among the celestials in the heavenly realms. Somehow these elders did battle. They did battle with evil beings. Paul calls them in Ephesians 6, sovereignties, authorities, world mights of this present darkness in places above. And so we are getting a glimpse here, albeit brief and dim, of celestial conflict that we barely know anything about. But these elders have come through victorious from some ancient battle. And I'm not talking about World War I or II. Raise your vision, folks. Raise the viewpoint. We're talking about a battle among the celestials that probably predated the disruption of the world. And these elders gained wreaths. There is a reason why they are representatives of the celestial realm. There's a reason why only 24 beings in the entire universe are called to the throne of God. Because they have come victorious. They have white robes, as appears to John, and they have wreaths, as appears to John. And they lay them at the feet of the one, capital O, sitting on the throne. And yet our calling is to be above these elders. And the four animals, the cherubim, that make up the throne of God, that are even nearer to God than the 24 elders. We will judge them. We are called to a higher place than even these magistrates. These 24 elders, listen, will bow down to us. When we are presented before the throne of God in the day of Christ, is that going to help you get up in the morning? Is that going to occupy you with things above rather than things on the earth? Is this a more epic moment than your problems and your trials? I think so. And it's impending. But of course, we grasp it only by faith because we see nothing as we look in the mirror or as we look at our circumstance. We see nothing of this future for us. We believe it by faith that this is what God has for us. Now, yesterday I was searching and searching for this, and I couldn't find it. I told you that the animals that are called the cherubim in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, the King James translate beast, the animals and the elders are seen before the throne. John reports this, and they represent the entire creation. And the first utterance, I was looking for this, but I missed it yesterday. Verse 11 of chapter 4. Revelation. This is their word of praise. Let's start with verse 9, because I love this glimpse into the heavenly realms. And whenever the animals should be giving glory and honor and thanks to him who is sitting on the throne, who is living for the eons of the eons, the 24 elders also will be falling before him who is sitting on the throne and will be worshiping him who is living for the eons of the eons. Amen. And they are casting their wreaths before the throne. Whatever battles they won in the ancient days of the universe, it's not worthy to be compared with the presence of the Almighty God. And they cast their wreaths at his feet. And they say this, "Worthy art thou, O Lord, our God, to get glory and honor and power, for thou dost create all. And because of thy will, they were and are created." This is universal. This is why I told you yesterday that this is universal. The events of the book of Revelation are universal. And here is the answer that philosophers and scientists have tried to get to. The creation of the universe, the beginning of the universe. It was created through God, through the will of God. And because of your will, capital Y, because of your will, it is created. That is the universe, and it was. Revelation 4:11. Because of God's will, God willed the universe into existence. I saw the Stephen Hawking movie earlier this week called The Theory of Everything. Great movie. I liked the relationships in the movie, but I've never seen anybody so full of shit as Stephen Hawking. And the guy has no idea where anything came from. And he has theories of black holes. And the language used in the movie was bullshit. It was all this scientific terminology that was supposed to wow and impress people. And all this, the theory of everything and black holes and all this jargon. It was just scientific jargon. And all these equations with slashes and letters and numbers mixed together. It's supposed to be epic. Hawking was looking for, and still is, apparently, it takes a long time to find this, one elegant equation to explain everything. How's this for an eloquent equation to explain everything? Worthy art thou, O Lord, our God, to get glory and honor and power, for thou dost create all, and because of thy will they were and are created. Because of the will of God. Creation came out of the will of God. Because God is love, and he longs for love reciprocated. And so he creates beings that will praise him and worship him, because it's just as good for him as it is for them. Was it good for you? Yeah. Was it good for you? Yeah. And everybody's smoking a cigarette of satisfaction, because there's love and love reciprocated, and that's the meaning of the universe. It came out of God. It came from his will. He has an intention, and it is to create beings who he can love and who will love him. And God bless Stephen Hawking, but you're not even close, sir. You wrote a million best-selling book, The Time, The Beginning of Time, or The Simple Explanation of Time, or whatever. the beginning of time, all these secrets and mysteries, and it's all scientific jargon bullshit. We have the answer right here in the scriptures. It's elegant. It's from the will of God. Stephen Hawking's not quite sure if there's a God. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, depending on what day you ask him and which theory he's chasing. We have the answer, and nobody wants to hear it. Humanity doesn't want to hear that there's a intelligent design to creation. Why? What's not to like about it? I don't know. Maybe it's human pride. Oh, I know it's human pride. That there's a will and a power above our own. I like that fact. This is the language of a child. Our Lord said to become as a child, and you'll receive the secrets of the kingdom of God. God is the first cause of all creation, and all creation traces itself to Him. Colossians 1:16, through Him all things that came into being were made. All sovereignties, all authorities. It's worth it to go here. It's worth it to go to Colossians 1:16. Here's an elegant statement for you, Mr. Hawking. For in Him is all created, that in the heavens and that on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties, the 24 elders, or authorities, all is created through Him and for Him. And He is before all, and all has its cohesion in Him. How's that for elegance? End of story. You need to go to Yale or Harvard or whatever that school is in England to get this? I'm an idiot, and I get it. And I have a feeling that this is being revealed to babes. And as Paul says, to the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. And yet we, as unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, outstrip these wise men of this present eon who are being discarded. And we're coming into our ascendancy. We're ascending, they're descending. And they're gonna end up on the ash heap of history and all their scientific theories. The Lambkin's about to take a scroll. We're going to find out about it. I'm going to tell you what this scroll is. And there's no one worthy to open the scroll. This is the lament of John. And one of the 24 elders speaks to John. Is that important? Is it epic? Is it worthy of our consideration, even though it's not our evangel? You bet it is. I want to be a fly on the wall of that transaction. Well, I am a fly on the wall. And you're going to be one too with me when we look into this. But I think next week I'm going to start on the four animals. Because I love animals. I love pooches and kitties and bunnies. And they are not without representation in the heavenlies. That makes me happy. And I have a feeling it's going to make you happy too. Have a great weekend.